In the name of the Father,
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Do not bring us to the test, but deliver us from evil. Let's ask the Lord for forgiveness. Have we sinned against God in the past week? Let us pray that the Lord will forgive us from all iniquity and all guilt, and wash our sins away by the blood of the cross.
My heart not garnered by red. Oh, I cry to thee, save me from my guilt. My heart now broken I stand. For thou my only hope, life and breath. If thou wilt ever take my guilt and my shame, I
my heart, not garments I rend.
My heart, not garments I rend. Oh, God, save me from my guilt.
My heart, now broken I send.
My heart, now broken I send. For thou art only hope, life and breath.
My life cannot even begin to change.
My life cannot even begin to change.
Thy own strength,
thy own strength is a port to my soul. Oh God, forgive me to love thee again.
Forgive me to love thee again. Forgive me.
Forgive me to love thee again.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can receive abundant mercy, steadfast love, eternal faithfulness from Calvary. Oh, we thank you, Father, that our sins can be washed away and every stain in our heart can be removed by the prodigal love of God. Extravagant is your mercy, O Lord. We will not be able to measure how good and how loving you are. Say this prayer with me, brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly
Father, I ask you to have mercy. Forgive me from all my sin.
Cleanse me and wash me.
Prepare my heart to receive your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated. Let's bring ourselves to the presence of God as we sing. Open your eyes.
Open your eyes. See the glory of your King. Lift up your eyes.
heart a dwelling place, O God.
Make my heart a dwelling place,
a temple just for you.
A consecrated resting place, a vessel ever true.
Make my heart a fire.
Make my heart a fire.
With a brightness.
With a brightness of your sun.
Make my heart.
Make my heart.
This song again, and let every word be meaningful in your heart.
Make my heart a dwelling place, a temple just for you. A consecrated resting place.
What is the main talk for today? It's a discussion and assurance of salvation. Before doing that, I'd like to tell you a story. Many, many years ago, I was giving a Life in the Spirit seminar. I was giving the talk on God's love. And while I was doing that, a man and a woman enters the room, and I saw them from the back. Clearly, the man was a foreigner. He had blonde, brownish hair, had a mustache, tall, well-built, young, early 20s, good looking. The woman behind him was clearly a Filipina. And how should I say this? She wasn't attractive. I'm skirting the issue, but maybe I should really be more blunt about it just to be more clear. If I won't be blunted, the story will not be effective. Brothers and sisters, pangit siya. She had stringy hair, you know, going in different directions. She had this scaly skin that would somehow chip away if you touched it. You know, it's. I'm exaggerating, but. That's the point. Anyway, she had a smile though, and that really just covered for everything. But you knew that she was around 40, 40-ish. And anyway, at the end of my talk, they kind of like approached me, and the woman said, "Brother Bo, you know, your talk was wonderful." And I said, "Oh, praise God." And she said, "The Lord really loved me. You know, I know that in my life. By the way, Bo, I want you to meet my fiancé." And I said, it's tried like, "Oh, hi." You know, and I said, "Wow, you know, really now, you know, it's like this guy is, you know." Anyway, she begins to tell me her story, and I really did not imagine this, but before meeting them, that I was going to hear probably the weirdest, wildest story I'll ever hear in my entire life. During that time, this happened, I don't know how long, how many years ago, probably when I was 15 or 16, when I was giving that talk. And wala pa yatang Viva nun. Alam ko kasi, I recall, gusto kong ibenta yung kwento nila sa LBN's Productions. This was the story. She tells me, this woman was a prostitute in Olongapo. And she's been there doing her trade, and she had two children, a girl and a boy from different fathers. And she was, you know, the Lord was drawing her to Himself, and she was really having a conversion experience, but she could not leave her trade because she had to support her children. And she's been praying to God and asking God, you know, "Lord, bigyan mo naman ako asawa. Give me a husband." And she was already 40-ish. And the funny thing about this woman was she said, "Lord, kung pwede lang, gusto ko Amerikano yung asawa ko." this woman had a lot of guts. And it proves that whoever said, pag 20 ka, you pray, Lord God, give me a handsome, wealthy man. Pag you're near 30, you say, Lord, give me a wealthy man. Pag 30 ka na, Lord, give me someone who's earning. Pag 40 ka na, Lord, give me someone. It proves that all wrong. This woman who was in her 40-ish, she was a prostitute. She had two kids from different fathers. She was not very attractive. And she said, Lord God, give me a husband and preferably give me an American. One day, she was praying before an altar, and one day this American soldier, a surgeon, walks near her house, and he sees a woman kneeling down in front of an altar. And the woman was praying, and the woman was singing songs and worshiping God. And for some unknown reason, he just sort of like his eyes riveted to that scene, and he could not go. He just could not leave the place. After a while, he started crying. Just looking at that sight. He started crying and he started feeling that the Lord was there. This soldier was already with the Lord. This soldier was someone who was converted, you know, brought near to God while he was in the States. So finally he goes in and he meets this woman and they talk. Sisters and brothers, after a few weeks, you know, this man says, can I marry you? I talked to them 2 days before they were going to fly to Hawaii. He was going to bring the two kids and this woman to America and to live there and to get married there. And he, you know, the last thing he told me was, Bo, pray for me. I'm going to introduce her to my parents. You know, my heart just like fell on my feet, you know. The only thing I could say is, God bless you. You know? But why am I telling you this story? Not because I'm teaching men and women here how to get a marriage partner. No. Usually the Lord works in more unspectacular ways on doing that. I remember a friend of mine who prayed to the Lord. She's really crazy. She said, Lord, pagpunta ko sa opisina mamaya, the first person I meet, Lord, asawa ko na yon. You know, she kind of like, in spectacular ways, we want God to reveal to us in dramatic ways. And so she went to her office, and she opened the door, and then she saw this guy, and she knew him. She turned around and she said, Carmelites, here I come. She didn't like the guy. I did not tell that story because I want to teach you how to get a husband or a wife. I shared to you that true experience, the wildest I've ever heard. Believe me, that happened when I was 15 or 16 years old. I don't recall now. But in the past, how many years that I've been living in this world, I haven't heard a weirder story than that and how God worked in their life. Sometimes it happens. But I'm sharing this story to you because of 1 John 5:11 to 12. 1 John 5:11 and 12 says, and this is the testimony. God has given to us what? Eternal life. 1 John 5 verse 11 says, and God has given to us eternal life. For the next 30 minutes or so, we're going to dwell on that one line. And God has given to us eternal life. The first thing I want to do is I want to define what eternal life means. When that phrase is heard, when you hear that phrase, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Heaven? Life forever? Everlasting life? Angels? harps, halos, clouds. Let's open our scripture to John chapter 17, verse 3, and we find out what does the writer John say about what eternal life is. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 3. And it says, "And this is eternal life." What is eternal life? To know Jesus. To know God. That is eternal life. What does to know mean? What does to know mean? Open your scripture to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Now, I'm sure you're going to tell me, now, why in the world is Bo telling me to read this verse? It's about something, well, something that shouldn't even be mentioned. What does it say in your Bible? And Adam had relations with his wife, whatever that means, and she conceived and had a baby, and his name was Cain. You know what? In my Bible, it's an old Bible, all old Bibles will have this phrase. It doesn't say, "And Adam had relations with Eve." In the old Bible it says, "And Adam knew Eve, and she conceived." And Adam knew Eve, and she conceived. Kakatakot pala, no? I can't tell anymore anyone, "Marie, I know you." Marie will say, "Ah." In biblical language, when you hear the word or you read the word "know," it just means so much more than knowledge, intellectual grasping, and intellectual understanding. That's far from what it means. It means more than that. Knowing someone is being in a deep relationship with that person. John 17 verse 3 says, "And this is eternal life, to know God." In other words, what does it mean? And this is eternal life, to be in a deep, intimate, discipleship, dynamic, personal, close relationship with God. This is eternal life, to be in a relationship with God. And God, verse 11, chapter 5, 1 John, "And God has given to us eternal life." From our definition, let's rephrase it. And God has given to us a relationship with Him. And God has given to us an everlasting relationship that's deep, that's real, that's dynamic, that's personal, that's intimate with Him, that will last forever. Eternal life primarily is being in a relationship with God. Heaven, sisters and brothers, the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of heaven is what? It should be God. Being in a relationship with God. Being with God. Not about angels, not about harps, not about halos, not about clouds, not about white gowns. It's about being in an intimate relationship with God. This is what primarily heaven is. What is heaven? Heaven is being loved by God and loving God in return. That's what primarily heaven is. A few years back, I read a book about a doctor who fell from a high building. And when he fell, he cracked his skull. They brought him to the hospital, and he went there, and they pronounced him dead on arrival. He was dead. But they were able to revive him after some time. During the span of time that he was dead, he was able to enter heaven. And when they were able to revive him, he recounted a story. He had a fantastic story and experience where he said the first thing he noticed about heaven was the light that was there. It was a beautiful, beautiful light. Soothing, radiant, powerful light. Second was it was just so beautiful. Even the music that he heard was really exquisite. And then he was trying to explain it. He was saying, maybe because music, at least in this world, is dominated or controlled by time and tempo, right? Right? In heaven, he was saying, conjecturing, maybe because heaven, there is no time. And so what kind of music would there be without time? Something that flows like a river. And he was saying, trying to describe, grapple in words, what he meant and what he experienced, the kind of music he heard there. And so he was sharing these experiences. He said he saw a field of beautiful flowers, amazing flowers, of different shades and hues and colors. Amazing sight. And one of the spectacular things he was saying about heaven was that he would imagine, he was saying, he had a desire. He said, I wish I would hold one of those little flowers in my hand. Bang! The flower was in his hand. But then he said in his sharing, in his book, he was saying, all this pales in comparison when I saw the face of Jesus. All this, the music, the flowers, the event of the desire coming into reality, and then the light, and all that pales in comparison when you see Jesus before you. The primary thing of heaven, of eternal life, is a relationship with Jesus. That's number one. That's central. That's primary. 1 John 5:11 and 12. Verse 11 says, and God has given to us eternal life. A relationship with Him. Heaven, which means seeing Jesus face to face. Being loved by God and loving God in return. The Greek word for eternal life is aionios. A-I-O-N-I-O-S. Literally, it just does not mean a life that will last forever. That word, aionios, can only be ascribed to the quality of life that God lives. I'll say it again. Aionios is the word, literally, you'd have to say it's about a quality of life that only God can possess. Think about it. Think about it. God is saying, and God has given to us His own very life. And He's sharing it to us. Sisters and brothers, I will ask you the question, the very same question that I wanted to ask the woman I met many, many years ago when I was 15, the prostitute from Olongapo. I wanted to ask her. I was really such an incredible story. I wanted to ask her, what do you have that he was attracted to you? What do you have that he courted you and that he would make you now his wife? What do you have? And yet, sisters and brothers, I ask this same question to you and to me. What do we have? What do we have that the Alpha and Omega, the first and last, the beginning and the end, the Ancient of Days, the Author of Life, the Great Amen, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, would come and court us and say, I love you. I want you to come with me, and I want you to live with me. This is a marriage proposal. I want to take you home with me to my home, to heaven, to eternal life. We will live forever together in unity, in intimate personal relationship for the rest of my life, for the rest of your life, forever and ever and ever. Eternally, I will love you. I will lavish my love for you. I will share with you my own life, aionios, my own quality of life, of victory, of truth, of power, of love, of peace, of joy. I'm going to share this with you.
sisters and brothers, they ask you the same question that they asked that woman. What did you do to attract this God? What do you have that God has come and has loved you in this way and has a wonderful plan for your life to bring you home with Him eternally in paradise? What did you have? Is there anything, a quality, a criteria, a specific thing that you showed to God, credentials, that you were able to say, Lord, tingnan mo to, that's why you love me, dahil dito. Is there anything? Is there? If you think that the story of the prostitute and that American is weird, our personal stories is even weirder. Who says amen to that? Our God has loved us in spite of who we are. There is nothing. We have sinned against the Lord. The second thing I want to look at in that phrase, and God has given to us eternal life, is the word given. And God has given to us eternal life. That prostitute from Olongapo did not have to do anything to earn, to work, to gain the love of that American. You and I don't have to do anything whatsoever to gain the love of God. He loves us already the way we are. That woman did not have to put makeup, have to go through to plastic surgery, lie about the two kids that she has, lie about her work. I'm a secretary. She didn't do that. She didn't do that. She just divulged everything, and that guy just took her the way she is. That's why it's weird. And our love story is weirder, because our God sees us through and through, and He knows our sins. He knows our faults. He knows our backgrounds. We have nothing to do but to say yes to the marriage proposal. God has given to us eternal life. It's given. It's for free. We don't work for it. We don't hide our sins. We don't try to prop up a nice facade. God says, I'll take you. Lord, I'm not worthy. I'll take you anyway. God loves us the way we are. The way we are. Where you are right now. He loves you. He takes you. He wants you to go to heaven. Sisters and brothers, He loves you. And He loves you too much to let you stay the way you are. When He does accept you, He'll do some transformation because He loves you too much. He won't let you to stay the way you are. But primarily, He takes you. He takes you the way you are. And this is the love of God. What do we have to do to receive eternal life? Tell me, please. If it is given for free, what do you have to do? Receive it. Say yes to the marriage proposal. All that the prostitute had to do was say yes. I want to marry you. I want to go to America. I want to go with you. And all we have to do is say yes to God. Yes, Lord, I want to marry you. Yes, God, I want to enter into this eternal relationship with you. I want to be your disciple. Yes, Lord, this is a free gift that you're giving me. This is the funny thing about us. It is so simple to receive the eternal life of God. So simple, yet we don't do it. Luke chapter 14. Verse 15. Let's begin with verse 16. Then said Jesus, there was a certain man who made a great supper and invited many. And so he sent his servants to tell all those that he invited to come to this great banquet. Sisters and brothers, this parable is about heaven. This parable is about being in a relationship with God and inviting people to that relationship. You find out that there are some people who will say no to the marriage proposal of God, to the great banquet that God is offering. Verse 18 says, and they all began to make excuses. Does this sound familiar? Just a while ago, you invited your friend to come here and they had what? Excuses. When you weren't coming before, what did you have? Excuses. Verse 18 says, then the first said unto him, kakabili ko lang ng lupa eh. Kailangan ko na mag-inspect. Sorry, at sabihin mo, tawad. Baka next time. Verse 19 says, another guy says, ay, kakabili ko lang ng ano, yokes para sa oxen ko. Yung brace na pinapatong sa leeg ng mga ox, sa working animals niya. Lima eh. Kailangan ko i-test drive. Next time na lang, pwede ba? Verse 20 says, ay, wrong timing ka naman. Nag-asawa na ako eh. Kahapon eh. Wala. Sorry. Next time, ha? I'm sure you'll understand. Did the king understand? Did the rich man understand? Did the host of the banquet understand? What do you read there later on? He was angry. This is a parable of an invitation to the great banquet of God and all these excuses. Now, I want to ask you a question. These people said no to the marriage proposal of God. Did any of those reasons appear sinful in any way? Meron ba itong kasalanan? Bumili ng lupa. Bumili ng yoke para sa kanyang brace, para sa kanyang mga ox. Nag-asawa. Is there any of the things, of the three things, sinful? What therefore do you think is Jesus trying to say? What do you think is Jesus trying to say in that? How many people have you heard say that? I'm going to go to heaven kasi wala naman akong malalaking kasalanan eh. Jesus was saying the greatest enemy of the best is not the worst. The greatest enemy of the best is the good. Is the good. I'll say it again. The greatest enemy of the best is not the worst. The greatest enemy of the best is the good that is offered to us. Mabuti naman yung ginagawa ko. Wala namang kasalanan dito eh. God is offering us the best. An eternal relationship with Him. Giving of ourselves, surrendering, obedient to His word, to His love. That's what He is offering. But we can be so caught up in the good things of life. Good, nothing sinful. But we become so busy with them. And we become so preoccupied with them. The good things. Moral things. But they're not the best. And God says, be forewarned. Be forewarned. The enemy of the best are the good things around you. Be forewarned. Why do I want to say that? Can you look at the tenses of 1 John 5:11? Ano yung tense doon na ginamit? And God has given to us eternal life. Did it say, and God will give us eternal life? Sisters and brothers, I don't know anything about grammar. I don't know whether it's past, present, or whatever. Participle, di ko alam yun. Noun, verb lang yung alam ko. But alam ko, tapos na at binigay na. And God has given to us eternal life. It's there. Why? I'll ask you a question. Does God love you? You sure? Do you love God? Are you in a discipleship relationship with Jesus? Intimate and personal? I'll ask that question one more time. Let you think about it. Are you in an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus? You're not? You are. I believe you are. I think most of you are. You know, you've been in the renewal, you've been baptized in the Spirit and so on. You are in a personal relationship with Jesus, yes?
Yes.
You love Him, yes?
Yes.
And He loves you, yes?
Yes?
Question, when does heaven begin? When does eternal life begin? Now. Why? Because you are already in a relationship with Jesus now. Because we defined it a while ago, unless you forgot. We defined it a while ago that eternal life is primarily, heaven is primarily
being in a relationship with God. Heaven begins now. And the thing about the men who said, I'm going to buy a field, I bought a field, I need to inspect it, I bought yoke, I need to test drive it, and I just got married, I'm sorry, I can't go. These are men who are not in a personal relationship with Jesus. They're not investing in the most important, the best thing that God is offering to them, but doing a lot of good things, but not the best. And brothers and sisters, please answer this question. Is it true that heaven is very real? And that eternal life is very real? And therefore, can I ask you this question? If someone lives today in this world without thinking of heaven, without investing his life in heaven, without working for his future in heaven, without saying yes to the marriage proposal of Jesus, if he doesn't do all that, can I say that he is not in touch with reality? Someone whose scheme of things, whose paradigm of life, whose perspective is limited to business and earning money and building a house and buying a farm and getting married and having children and getting achievements and having friends and enjoying tennis on Sunday without investing his life on Jesus and being a disciple of him and loving him fully and being obedient to him, can we say that that person is not in touch with reality? Because he does not think of heaven. He only sees earth. He only sees this material world. He does not think of heaven. Can we say that he's not in touch with reality? Give me another word for a person who is not in touch with reality. I heard it. Insane. Insane. Sisters and brothers, there are a lot of insane people in this world. They do not think of heaven. They think of the Petron stocks, and they think about, you know, family, and they think about their future here on earth, and 30 years from now they want to have a nice lot in Laguna, and maybe, I'm not saying don't buy Petron stock. If you have the money, I hope you do, but sisters and brothers, what I'm saying is, what is your heart preoccupied with? Are you like those three people? I just bought land, I just bought yoke, it's business, it's trading, it's selling, it's business, it's getting married. Life means saying yes to the marriage proposal of Jesus. Getting the best, not the good. Getting the best. I want to end with a story. A few weeks ago, I had a dream. I dreamt, this is crazy, really crazy. I dreamt that, you know, the Lord was there. And he was telling me, Bo, I want you to give 10,000 pesos to Nestor Serrano. And, you know, I woke up in the morning, and it was so real. You know, it's like, wow. You know? So I went into prayer time, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, galing ba sa'yo to? Lord, hindi naman ako mayaman eh. You know, just 10,000 is, you know, probably, it's not big to you. Maybe it's very small to you, but for me, it's incredibly huge, humongous. It's almost all that I have. And you know, and I said, but I felt the Lord really was saying, that dream came from me. I really did speak to you, and I really want you to do it. You know? So I said, hi. Buhay ito. But I was just joking, and I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I was very happy in doing it. I really wanted to do it. So I went to the office, and the first, you know, Nestor Serrano is someone who works for me. He's a full-time worker. And I was going to look for Nestor. The moment I would enter the office, I was going to look for the guy. But the moment I entered the office, the first person I met tells me, Bo, si Nestor nasa ospital. Everything just started suddenly clicking, you know, everything just like a jigsaw puzzle forming, and I said, oh, son. So I went to the hospital, and he was there, and I transferred him to a better room and so on. And after 4 days, can you tell me how much was the bill from the hospital? 9,750 pesos. On his next payday, I gave him a bonus of 250. And he told me after that, you know, Bo, salamat. Ang mahal na mga gabot pala yung follow-up, yung pagkatapos ng ng kanyang hospital stay. And sinabi niya, you know, it was really funny. You know, one of the things I reflected on that, and I was saying, I really feel that I don't own my life anymore. I don't own my savings. Next time, you know, the Lord tells me, Bo, give, you know, all that you have. And I say, sure, no problem. The Lord tells me to go to China and be a missionary. I have no problem about that. The Lord tells me to be a priest. You know, may God forbid, but if God tells me to do that, I will. I will. I really, really will. You know, I'm God of mercy. But I will. I'll do anything. I feel that I don't own my life anymore. You know, this morning I got the alumni newsletter of my university. Sabihin ko na ba? Baka may mga mag-galit. Anyway, I was reading to the alumni newsletter. Tapos nakikita ko yung mga, nakalagay din yung mga sikat na eh. Yung ito, executive vice president na kung ano-anong kumpanya, you know. Nakikita ko ako eh, chairman of the board nga. Kaya lang, kotse wala. You know, you just that feeling. I just borrow cars. I just, you know, go through life. You know, living my life. And yet, I went into prayer and I felt the Lord was saying, Bo, you don't live for yourself anymore. You live for me. I own you now. I possess you now. We are in a master discipleship relationship. We are in a master servant relationship. I'm sharing this to you at the end of my talk because I want to say one thing. Right now, it's possible to enjoy heaven. It's possible to enjoy eternal life right now. Are you happy?
Yes.
Are you really, 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 really happy?
Yes.
Are you deeply, profoundly, at the core of your heart, joyful? Parang humihina. But that question is real. I share this to you as my life. I'm saying I have a lot of difficulties in my work, in leading community, in running Kerygma and Shepherd's Voice and leading this. I mean, I'm having a lot of difficulty. But deep within my soul, I am convinced that I am joyful. I have found true happiness, fulfillment of life. I don't own myself. God can tell me to do anything and I'll say yes. Sisters and brothers, I'm living eternal life right now. I'm living a foretaste of what heaven is. Sisters and brothers, all of us are invited by God to live in that kind of life, to begin heaven now. And God has given to us eternal life. Let's make it more personal. It's like a conclusion for this talk. And God has given to me eternal life. Say that. God has given to me eternal life. And God has given to me heaven now. God has given to me heaven now. You feel good about it?
Yes.
Who are we that God would court us? Who are we that God would want to marry us and bring us home with Him? We're nobody. But God is giving us a free gift. And this is His love for us. If you notice your folder, it has all those verses that I will not open. It says through Jesus Christ, and it says about 6 verses there. I'm running out of time. I will not be able to discuss the verses anymore. I wanted to explain things here about, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not life. If you notice, I only took the first part of verse 11. The second part of verse 11 I did not touch. The whole part of verse 12 I did not touch. I wish I could, but I don't have time. I want to discuss things here about He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not life. You mean to tell me that only Christians will go to heaven? How about the Hindus? How about the Buddhists? How about the atheists? How about the pagans? How about people in the mountain who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? But that verse says so. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son, he who has not Jesus, has not life. What does that mean? What does that mean? How will God judge those who do not have Jesus?
I wish I could tell you the answer tonight. Some other time, okay?
I'm terrible, you know?
I promise you that on the next course, not the next session, okay? Probably in the next course that we give. We're giving a 10-week course here. After the 10-week course, we give another 10-week course, hopefully, if the Lord permits us. We do not know. But if the Lord permits us, we can go through these other topics. But I hope that as we go through Scripture, you will have a greater love for the Word of God. Do you still recall what is your goal for this course? To be more deeply rooted in the Word of God, to love God's Word more, and to bring people to Christ. I pray that, if you notice, just tonight, we discussed only one phrase. And God has given to us eternal life. That's all we discussed. And I took almost an hour, probably, just sharing that to you. That's how rich the Word of God is. You just don't go through Scripture like that. You take every word, you define, you think, and you ask the Lord for wisdom to reveal that word to you. Brothers and sisters, I ask you a question. Do you want eternal life?
Yes.
Do you want to receive heaven?
Yes.
Do you want that eternal life and that heaven to begin right now? Then come before your God, because it's for the asking. Just receive it. He's giving it to you. A relationship that will last forever. Intimate, eternal, forever relationship. We'll sing it in a slower way, and I want you to sing this with a lot of meaning from your hearts. You, O Lord, are all my delight. I long to behold you face to face. That's what heaven is about anyway.
You, O Lord, are all my delight.
I long to behold you.
I long to behold you face to face.
To dwell in your courts.
To dwell in your courts.
Let's sing that song again. You, O Lord,
you, O Lord, are all my delight. I long to behold you face to face.
To dwell. God, we pray.
Spirit of God, come raise our minds beyond the love of earthly things. Train our hearts to speak the things of heaven and fix our eyes on the hope of eternity.
You, O Lord,
you, O Lord, are all my delight. I long to behold you face to face. To dwell in your courts, my Lord, day and night. For you are our only good, and in you is the fullness. Spirit of God, come raise our minds
beyond the love of earthly things.
Beyond the love of earthly things.
Pain our hearts. Yes, Father.
Pain.
things of heaven. Fix our eyes. You, O Lord,
are all my delight. I long to behold you face to face.
This is the end of the talk. We hope you've enjoyed it. Next is a brief discussion on how to improve daily scripture time.
How to improve scripture time?
It says their best thought. I call this the best thought method or the special thought method. Number one, do your daily Bible reading and marking and praying as usual. Get your scripture, get the companion, and then read through scripture and pray and underline and highlight and put question marks and so on. Write in the Bible. Make your Bible dirty so that your soul will be clean. That's from my friend. Number two, after reading, leaf back through what you have read and pick the one thought or verse that is most interesting or helpful. It does not have to be an outstanding thought, just one that interests or helps you. Now, as simple as that may sound, brothers and sisters, that's the key to improve your scripture time. After reading all the first reading, the responsorial psalm and the gospel for the day or whatever, you don't end there. What you do is you say, Lord, anong sinasabi mo sa akin sa araw na to? And come home with just one thought or one verse. Don't leave your scripture time with about five or six different points and nice things to remember, because at the end of the day, you won't remember a single one of them. Not one, I can assure you. After 1 week, it's all over. But if you choose one thing, one thought, one verse, one word from the Lord, every time you do scripture time, and then write it down. Let's go to number three. Write down the thought and verse in your notebook or journal or companion. Okay? Number four. Finally, write down how that verse impressed you, either in the form of reflection or as a prayer to God. I gave an example. Best thought, John 3:16. Let's say you chose that verse. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, so that whosoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. How it impressed me, you could write something like, I am struck with the idea that love isn't just saying that you love someone, but love is giving up one's rights and conveniences. This then is the true expression of love. Lord Jesus, let me love in this way today, especially toward my office mate, blah, blah, blah. So you continue concerning your reflection on the one thought, the special thought, the best word that God has gave you on that particular day. No problem? Is that easy? Now, brothers and sisters, I'm sharing this to you because it worked in my life. It worked in my scripture time. It has revolutionized my scripture time. I'm going to tell you why later on. B, why use this method? It gives you one thought to reflect on each day. Let's say you're impressed with an average of five things in your reading each day. If you isolate the best of the five, it gives you one thing to think about between readings. This allows God to use what He has been impressing on your mind to change your life. If you carry a vague assortment of ideas in your mind, God has less opportunity to change and enrich your life as a result of your reading. Number two, it may help you see trends in God's dealing with you. With a record of major things God has been saying to you over a period of days or weeks, it is often possible to see a pattern. This may help you with planning about the future, understanding the past and present, or both. Three, it gives you something specific to share with others. Often if you are asked to give a talk or lead a prayer meeting, This material, which has already been so meaningful to you, can be amplified or combined. It will be something about which God has spoken to you personally, not something from a book or a manual that is from the life of another person, though some of these materials can be helpful. Also, you will find other occasions to use these devotional thoughts to encourage and help other Christians. One of the wonderful things that happens about scripture time, especially with the best thought method, is that you wrote it down, you remember it, and then during the day, you know, when you go to office, you can tell your office mate, Sally, you know what the Lord told me this morning from scripture? The Lord told me to love you. Mahirap kasi mahalin eh. You know, you can share it to people. You can tell it and say, this is what the Lord told me. Sometimes these things can inspire people. They can really encourage people a lot. We go on. Number four. It helps to sharpen and organize the mind. Learning to sift through your reading to determine what is the most important will sharpen your mind to do the same thing in other areas such as Bible study, community service, etc. Number five, it stimulates consistency in your reading. Wow, this is probably a great blessing for many of us. How many of you have had difficulty with doing your scripture time every day? Okay, why? Especially if you use something like the companion. Why? You may find, as others have, that having a definite form on which to write a thought each day will increase your consistency in reading. You will be less likely to miss a day when you realize that there will be a blank space left on your companion. This is not the best motive, perhaps, but it increases your consistency until you are properly motivated more often. Okay?